Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Meow. You love me, you hate me, you'll never forget me. Get ready to feel the... and girls, and welcome to a late starting YRG Radio. I am your host, DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, and today is a tape show. So if you're listening to this, it's not live, so you can't call in. You can go to the chat room if you want. But first, I have to tell you why we're late. For starters, I want to make sure everybody's in the room. Robert, is everybody in the house here?
I'm here. We've got two people on the line. Who we got?
Stacy's here.
This is Mike.
Okay, great. So we know we got a house, and Arthur's going to be a little bit late. So here's what happened. About 10 minutes ago, Angie texted me, "Do you mind taking Nazi for a walk?" And Mr. ADD Boy, who was talking on the phone to my buddy Tim Sullivan, who was the director of my movie Driftwood and also wrote and produced Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror that he put me in, we're doing another film called Clowns. So we got on a roll about talking about clowns. And for any of you people who watch VH1, Tim is also the director in that show Scream Queens. And we were talking about Scream Queens and then how the success that he's having there, and he's getting great reviews and great ratings. And now I'm walking Nazi and down the street. Now I'm turning around, coming back, and all of a sudden I get a call from Robert. And I go, "Hey, how's it? Wait a minute, is it 5:59? He goes, "Yeah." I go, "1 minute?" So I go, "Shit." So I run inside. Oh, I locked the door. So in my condo, I got to run all the way out and around and then scale up the wall, climb over the balcony, which is just full of shit. I mean, it was like an acrobatic thing I was doing on my way to get to the key. That's the hidden key. They got me in the door, and I went outside looking for Nazi because she didn't run around with me. So now I'm like, "Nazi, Nazi, Nazi." I go to the gate door, and there she is sitting there waiting for me to come through the gate door. So hence the late start. Before we get into our show today, which is hosted by the lovely Ms. Stacy Morris, and I'll tell you how we got our guest today on top of that. It's her show, and I want her to pick what we want to talk about, which we'll mention in a moment. Last night I was at SummerSlam, and the boys were in town for the second biggest pay-per-view of the year. The biggest pay-per-view, of course, is WrestleMania, but the second biggest pay-per-view is SummerSlam. And it was a star-studded cast. It was got to meet... Tracy, he's the big country western singer. He was on Celebrity too. Tracy Atkins. What a sweetheart guy he was, and big man. He's bigger than me, man. So he had to be about what his count. He's about 6'7", and you know that voice. You know, we talked for a few moments, and really enjoyed hanging out with him, and got to see some of my compadres, young and old, and got to hang with the Big Show, 7 foot, 500 pounds of him. And he has his own tour bus now. And looking at this tour bus, me and him spent many a night driving 150 to 200 to 300 miles, in a caddy, him jammed in the thing. Now he's got a bus and a driver. Boy, I wish we had that back in the day. That would add another few years to my career. There you can lay back, watch movies, someone else is driving for you, and you just fall asleep. You got your king-size bed. It was amazing. And I actually got to watch his movie that will be coming out called Knucklehead. And he plays a child that he's not a child. He's a man-child. He's 35 years old, and he's never left the orphanage. and it's pretty, you know, for a family movie, it's very funny. It'd be a great movie for everyone to, the whole family to watch. I think it's sort of funny that I did the family movie Pizza Man, and then how he's doing Knucklehead, and most of our movies are full of cuss words and R, rated R or R double triple R. So all that being said, it was a great night down at SummerSlam, and if you want to see some of the pictures, go to TheRealDDP, my blog, and subscribe to it. I also put up there the six-minute plank. I wouldn't call it a push-up, just six-minute plank. I believe it was Wilkerson's or Doug or somebody did a two-minute plank position, which is challenging. 2 minutes is challenging just being in that push-up plank position. And then I believe Doug did four. He said, why don't you try and see if you can get five? And I was listening to a song that was 5 minutes and 45 seconds, so I knew I was going to get six at one point. But I was trembling. So if you haven't seen that, you might want to go to my blog and check it out. I'm also going to put it on Team YRG. And that's all about the news I've got so far. That's what's happening around me and my world. So let's take it to your world. Like I said, Stacey Morris is our co-host tonight, and I asked her, who would you like to have on the show? Because we can't have people call in or be in, so let's just get a group together. And she said, boy, you know, well, I'll tell you, Stacey, what did you say? Who did you say, and why did you want to bring in these two people?
Well, I said Arthur.
Of course.
Because he's always inspirational. And one of the newer team members of Team YRG, Michael Galeanos, because he is fairly new, but he's really doing amazing things, and he's inspiring people already. So I thought he would be a great person to have on.
You know, it was funny because I was actually going to suggest him, but I figured, nah, let me, it's your show tonight, I'll let you pick it. And then you picked him, so I was like, wow, that's cool. And we'll get the mic in a minute here. Robert, let us know when Arthur pops on. You know, Arthur's a lot like me in the way that he tries to fit 10 pounds of shit into a 2-pound bag. I mean, this guy, there isn't a moment he actually has really for, you know, that's free, I don't think, unless he makes it free. Because he's really, he tries to, you know, now that he recaptured and literally owns his life, he takes it and gets as much out of it as he can. When he finally kisses goodbye to this earth and, you know, and is gone, he will not be saying, I wish I would have, because he's doing it all, rolling all into one. So, Stace, tell us about what we're going to be talking about today and why you chose it.
Okay, I chose the topic redefining yourself. And that's something I've been doing, you know, really actively since I started YRG and clean eating, but I had an
wait before you go any farther. Okay. Give, because some people may just be tuning in for the first time. They may not have even seen you, because now you were the spotlight last month and Terry is this month, so you're not up there right now. So for people who don't know you, give us a little background, you know, the cliff notes, the Reader's Digest version, and then we'll get into that, okay?
Okay. Well, when I found you and YRG back in January of 2009, I was 345 pounds.
And how long had you been at that weight?
I had been above 300 pounds for about 20 years, and never quite that high. That was the result of pretty much living on potato chips and cream cheese. I considered cream cheese to be its own food group.
I know about your affiliation with cheese. Go ahead.
So, anyway, you when you saw that I was really, you know, taking this seriously, you.
And it was Terry who sent me that email. Because you were communicating with Terry when you first came on there, right?
Yeah, I was doing the original, you know, the 50-plus, the older DVDs, not what's available now. And I started corresponding with her. And she was really kind of impressed with my progress and what I was doing. And she forwarded the email to you. And, you know, you said, let's talk, you know. And because you agreed to work with me, that gave me a lot of motivation, maybe a little fear, you know, but it kept going.
Right.
It kept going. It was the fuel I needed, you know. And so, I guess 15, 16 months later, I'm down about 160 pounds, probably 14 sizes.
Wow.
You know,
that's just, so, I mean, how does that feel? I mean, just even say that.
I mean, every day, seriously, it's just all day long. It's like a gift because of the freedom. You know, I mean, it never gets tiresome. It never gets old. I mean, I've gotten used to being able to do the things I never could, but just moving, you know, just walking, getting in and out of a car, sleeping is easier. I can turn over in bed now without a lot of, you know.
So many things that people, that they take for granted, you know.
Yeah.
Breathing must be way easier for you.
Oh, yeah, and you know what else? You know, this is interesting because I live, you know, near Lake George, New York, and I love swimming. And swimming is now a double-edged sword because on one hand, I don't have all that fat to buoy me up. So I got to work harder now when I'm in the water. But I noticed such a huge difference in my lung capacity. And I can stay underwater for such a long time. It's great. I can scuba dive and not need, one of those breathing tubes. I just go under, and it's like I'm a mermaid.
Wow. That's huge. That's huge. I love it.
So, you know, obviously redefining yourself, that, you know, anyone who knows my story knows that that's an appropriate topic for what I've been going through. But what happened a few days ago really made me, I thought I was redefining myself when I bought a new car. I've always had big cars, you know, four-door, like sedan types, because that's what I needed.
Right.
And the car that I'm driving now is a 12-year-old Toyota Camry, and I just started to get this feeling a few months ago that it was time to move on and get something smaller, you know, to reflect the new me.
Wow.
So I had exactly what I wanted in mind, and but see, that all this stuff goes so far beyond weight, you know.
Right.
It's like it's not just the food, it's not just the weight. So I've got issues around money, and things like what I really believe I deserve. So I went in there thinking, okay, I'm going to buy a used car because that's what I've always done, and not even investigating anything else, you know, and. What happened was the sales guy did the investigating for me, and it turns out that I really was able to afford a brand new car, and it was better than what I wanted, and the payment was what I thought would have been a payment for a used car, and it just fell into place, you know, like within days. And
how good did that feel?
Oh my God! I mean, just to go for that test drive. And not have to worry, not have to feel uncomfortable, and to get in, you know, just to know I could fit in a little two-door, tiny, compact car was so cool. And, you know, but it made me realize, like, the fact that I went in there just focused on a used car, you know, I realized I need to redefine myself in other ways, too. You know, and I think it's these old... Sometimes we get tied up with these imaginary chains that aren't even there, you know, and not realizing how free we can be, and we hold ourselves back. So I just thought it was important to address that because I think everyone probably is going through that one way or another.
I absolutely agree, and I'll give you the antithesis, you know, like the other side of that, you know, so to speak. When I was younger, and my metabolism was so fast, and I was growing so fast that I couldn't put on weight. At one point, I was 6'4", 155 pounds. I mean, that's all skin and bones. And it took me forever to gain the weight. Even out of college, like 200 coming out of college, I could not put on that weight. I couldn't, you know, and when I finally, like, it's a job to eat to hold the weight. I mean, that's one of the reasons I lost, you know, I went down from like 260 to 245 to around 240, and that's where I stayed because my body was so used to that. But, I mean, if I never would have, like, force-fed myself, I would have been like maybe 200, 210. That would have been my limit, unless my stomach got fatter. But that's the only place I ever would get fat is right in my stomach. But to this really well-built man. And Arthur once said that he had never seen anybody as comfortable in his own skin as me, but I worked at that. It just didn't happen. You know, it took, you know, because, you know, when you're that fat kid, you see that fat kid no matter what you look like unless you redefine. I'll give you a great example of it. John Snyder, one of the most handsome men alive, from Dukes of Hazzard, you might remember him as Bo Duke or Superman's dad, but he's done it all, for being number one hits country singer to Broadway star. And he's just a phenomenal talent. And he was a fat kid growing up. And it was really tough for him to make the transition to, you know, to feeling that he was that guy, that ridiculously handsome kid. But once he got it, he reprogrammed his brain, rebooted his brain. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. And it's so important, because I think, I know from my own experience that having these negative perceptions that sort of haunt me in my mind can absolutely contribute to a backslide. Or falling off the wagon. I mean, that's been, you know, something that's happened to me in the past. But like you said, I'm really actively working on reprogramming my brain. But for anyone listening out there, I just think it's something really important to be aware of, because they can be, the messages can be insidious. You almost don't know they're there. So one day when you're feeling vulnerable, they kind of sneak up on you and almost try to attack in a way. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And other people will try to attack you too. And I'm sure you had to have gone through that over this transformation, where people, especially, yeah, it's sort of like if you're an alcoholic. And, I mean, it's like, who can say they had the worst time? You're a long time. And at some point, I made a conscious decision, because my dad was an alcoholic, that, do I want, as much as I love the party and have a good time, it's like, do I want to let this booze own me, or am I going to take control and own it? And once I did that, I couldn't hang out with my buddies who drank all the time. I'd still see them once in a while, but I couldn't hang out with them all the time. It's like the people who overeat. You know, like you said, the only thing we have in common is eating. You know, so you have to reprogram yourself, and hopefully you can grab one or two of them with you to make the journey with you, but most likely until they're ready, they're never going to do it. So, you know, talk about redefining. First of all, we've got Arthur. Arthur, how are you tonight, Bo?
Good, thanks.
Good to have you here, man. And, well, Arthur, I want you to inject in wherever you want. The topic tonight, just Cliff Notes, Stacey, give it to Arthur again.
It's redefining yourself, and That goes for physical as well as, you know, emotional and mental perceptions of ourselves.
And Arthur,
go ahead.
No, you
well,
go ahead.
I wanted to ask Arthur, because you've had such a major transformation, it's all on YouTube. I mean, did it take you a while to redefine how you saw yourself and who you eventually became?
Arthur?
Hey, I'm trying to figure out how to answer that.
Okay.
I haven't thought about it that way, to be really honest.
How do you see yourself? I mean, obviously now you must see yourself as the fit guy, you know, who can do anything.
Well, at one level, I have not changed very much at all. And, you know, a large part of what defined me as me was, you know, taking care of my family, working with my students, things like that. I have become more capable of doing those things. But at a core level, you know, I am still me. I am driven very much by the same thing that drove me before. You know, I don't know if that answers the question or not, but the way I look at it, I am, you know, still pretty much who and what I was.
Well, you can't really say that, Arthur. You may say mentally, but you took a whole, I mean, you've transformed more than anyone has probably ever in the transfer. And it's one of the things about Arthur, Stacey, too, is that Arthur doesn't give, he's very humble. So he doesn't give himself a lot of credit. And I can remember saying to him, you're inspiring a lot of people. And he's like, I am? You know, he didn't really see it. And I wonder if today if he still does. But, you know, so many people have come and tried this workout because they said, well, God, if he could do it, and look at those results. And I don't know if you noticed, Arthur, but a lot of people, you know, when you came and interviewed you that first time?
I missed what you just said.
I said, do you remember when Steve Yu came and visited you?
That was strange for me.
You see, Arthur had lost 20 pounds and 4 inches off his stomach the first 2 weeks. Steve is doing a movie called Inspired the Movie. And he knows that I work with a lot of people. And, you know, like Arthur I worked with once. I still have yet to meet Michael, who we'll get to in a minute, and I've never met Stacy. And how could you inspire people to do these things without even being there with them? Well, I don't really know, to tell you the truth. I know that people, you know, they click on it for whatever reason. Or
is that just my connection, or is Dallas skipping out?
He's skipping out on me. I'm losing him.
Skipping out?
Yeah.
All right, well, how about now? Any better?
Yeah,
no.
I can hear you now.
Yeah, you'll be good for a few minutes, and then you'll disappear for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
Now it's got the echo. And I'm using the phone. Am I still on? Can you hear me right now?
Yes,
I can hear you now.
Okay. So the bottom line is that people, you know, Steve had come to me and said, if you me know anyone that you're working with. And I turned him on to a couple of guys that, you know, that started but fell off and never turned in, you know, never really achieved their goals. And then when Arthur told me that he lost 20 pounds and 4 inches off his belly the first 2 weeks, and here were the key words, what he said to me, how can I get this to go faster? And it wasn't so much that he wanted to go faster, he just wanted it to continue. And I was like, dude, this isn't Biggest Loser. You got a real job. You're working 70 hours a week. You got 3 kids, 5 cats, and a wife, you know. And
fading out again.
Why is that?
Yeah, you just went out again, bro.
That's weird. I'm going to try to take connection. Stacy, you talk to Arthur right now because it won't affect me. And, why don't you bring Michael in and ask how Michael came into this?
Yeah, Michael.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi,
Arthur.
Can you talk a little bit about how you found YRG and just how the road has been for you?
Sure. One night, as usual, I was watching TV at 3 in the morning, and an infomercial came on. And I saw that it was, you know, Dallas, and I was a big wrestling fan, so automatically I was interested, but I didn't think I could do it. And then I saw Arthur, and, you know, as I kept watching, it was just incredible, you know, what Arthur did, and I was actually inspired and, you know, I thought, you know, why not? I should give it a try.
Wow.
So it's because of Arthur you ordered the DVD?
Absolutely.
Wow.
See, Arthur?
That's how it was for me. When I saw the YouTube video, I was just blown away, and I thought, I have no excuse.
So let me – can you hear me now? Am I breaking up, or can you hear me now?
You're breaking up.
Oh, that's brutal. Go ahead. You guys talk. Talk amongst yourselves.
You know, when I look at things like this, I look back at Smokey. And, you know, one of the biggest moments for me was when I was out there and we were doing the infomercial. And the first time I actually met Smokey face to face. And, you know, you guys talk that you guys inspired – that I inspired you guys, Smokey. You know, I looked at him like, geez, you know, if he could do this. So I kind of know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at what somebody else did and you think, wow, they could do that, so I can do that. And I think it's kind of like, this is going to sound off the wall, but it's kind of like doing a headstand. You know, the first time you do a headstand, it may be a really crappy headstand, but you know you did it. So you can do it again and you can do it better. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when I saw Smokey, and my big thing was, how am I going to do anything? I work all these just brutal hours. You know, I don't, in fact, I'll be honest, since I started doing YRG, I actually work fewer hours now. You know, but I work them spread out over more days. But, you know, I looked at Smokey, and he was just working, you know, insane hours, and he managed to do that. I thought, well, geez, you know, he's a, you know, there's that word, he's a regular guy. You know, he's not somebody who's going to spend, you know, all, you know, every waking hour doing something. And I thought, geez, if he can do that, I can do that.
Let me ask you a question, Arthur. Do you ever go back and look at the comments that were left on your the video of you?
To be really honest, no, I really don't. And part of it is, you know, when you look at something like that, it's almost kind of scary because all these people are doing something and it puts a lot of oomph on you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Because that video's been up for what? How long have we had that up now? About 2 years now?
I guess.
2.5.
Yeah, we've still got a lot of comments on there and, you know, just a lot of people that are just really inspired by that.
I'll be honest, to me, I don't know. I never really thought of myself as a public person, if you know what I mean. And, you know, when I look at that, in fact, I'm calling it up now just because I want to see how many hits it's got. Oh, my God.
What's it up to now?
92,480 hits.
Wow.
Wow.
Jeez.
I remember when I would send you updates that it was at 5,000 and 10,000.
So, Arthur, I don't know if I know this about you. How long had you been at that weight?
Somewhere between 10 and 15 years.
Oh, okay. Because for me, I've had weight issues since I was about 8 years old. And I think that's where, I mean, I do relate to what you're saying about the core of me really is untouched. I mean, that's what I consider to be my soul, and that doesn't change. But it's the negative labels, you know, that either I heard from others or I decided to take on myself that used to really hold me back. And I just wondered if that was ever an issue with you.
Yeah, it was. You know,
yeah, for me, that's a process to let go of that stuff. I mean, it didn't happen overnight, but I'm finally at the point where I'm letting the labels go, like that I'm the one who always eats a lot. I'm the one who's out of control around food, you know. I'm the one with a family history on both sides, you know. It's like I've had to really work at letting that go and not let those things rule me anymore.
All right, can you guys... Is that an echo?
Yeah, bad echo.
Yeah.
Goodbye. You know, I think one thing you're talking about is with, you know, when we talk about labeling ourselves and putting words and names on ourselves and such, you know, sometimes in order to keep other people from doing it, you do it yourself first. So it kind of takes some of the sting out of it. You know, I used to have memorized, in fact, I still haven't memorized, a litany of fat jokes. You know, two Twinkies shy of having my own zip code, you know. Domino's Pizza is a dependent of mine. I'm going to declare them on my next tax return. You know, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But that was true to a certain degree, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so you mean laugh at yourself first before somebody else can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we put all our these, the way we talk to ourselves And it's weird. One of the things that drove me was that I could not go on the way I was. And I realized that what I was doing to myself did not match, you know, my core beliefs about myself. You know, I viewed myself very strongly as someone who cared a lot about my wife and my kids. And in one swoop, Dallas made me realize that every time I was stuffing my face, I was communicating to my kids and to my wife that I cared more about eating than I cared about all the time that I wasn't going to be able to spend with them.
It's powerful, man.
Yeah.
So let me tell you guys how I ended up working with Michael. Michael took the pictures without being told to. And I saw that one picture with him trying to lift up his leg. And what weight did you weigh then, Mike?
377.
And how tall are you?
5'4".
And you weren't a heavy.
I lost you there, Dallas.
I said, were you a heavy kid your whole life?
No, I played soccer up till 15. And, you know, I was pretty, you know, pretty in shape.
So when did it start? When did it start to go?
The first time around, it started to happen around 19.
And where'd you go? What was your weight then?
I went up to 220. And then I dropped down to 150.
Mm.
And I let situations in life weigh me down, and then I shot up to 377.
Wow! And how long have you been at? Were you at that around that number?
Well, around that number, it had to be something like 7 years.
Wow. So when you come on and you get the phone number, so you need to ask me for your phone number, what'd you think?
I kind of was thinking, well, you know, on the infomercial, they talked about how, you know, you called Arthur. And I thought, well, I don't think he's going to call me. So I was kind of curious. I wasn't sure what to make of it.
So when I called you, what'd you make of it?
I lost you. You know, I mean, you know, I watched you all the time on Nitro, on WCW. I was a huge fan, and now you were calling me. I don't know how to explain. I mean, for me, it was just something huge.
And since you started this journey, on the tails of what Stacy's been talking about, how have you been redefining yourself?
Okay. Well, to start off, I stopped letting things stop me from doing what I wanted to do.
Example,
if I wanted to dance, I used to just sit there and say, well, if I get up there, you know, they're just going to laugh at me now. And now, if, you know, if I want to dance, I just, you know, I go and I dance. I have no problem with it. To play music, you know, I used to get shot down from bands because of my appearance. And, you know, now I'm starting to actually get back to trying to get the bands together again. And I'm not, you know, I'm not thinking about the weight.
And,
you know,
and where are you at your six-month mark, right?
Six-month mark, and I'm down to 287.
So 90 pounds in 6 months.
90 pounds.
Wow.
That's,
you know what,
really
what strikes me about what you're saying, Michael, is that you're really changing from the inside out as well. It's not just the weight. You're giving yourself permission to live and do what
you
want to do. And that's really major.
Thank you. I'm trying. I don't know if I succeed all the time, but I'm trying.
Well, 90 pounds in 6 months
is
succeeding. I remember Arthur, your goal was 100, and he was so focused in on that goal of 100 pounds in 6 months. And when he nailed it, man, that was huge.
That's incredible.
So back to redefining yourself. You know, what goals have you set for yourself, you know, as you move on this journey?
Well, you know, I'd like to find someone, eventually get married, you know, have children. I write songs. I like to try and get some songs out there. I'd like to actually get out there and perform again. And I would love, just for fun, I would love to play in a local soccer league, you know.
Now, all those things eventually will be possible because, you know, I know when Stacy started this, I mean, for her, you know, walking a marathon or hiking or parasailing or any of that thing was unthinkable.
Or getting in a sculling boat.
Where are those pictures?
They're coming. My photographer hasn't sent them yet, but...
Your photographer. Now she's got a photographer.
And now I want one.
Right.
But I have a list of goals, and, you know, I'm slowly knocking them off. And you're right, it is important to have them, to have some concrete, you know, guideposts to be looking toward, or else you're just kind of floating around.
Absolutely. So, Arthur, let me ask you, because, you know, it's funny, because here's the sequence. Now that my phone, I'm not breaking in and out. Here's the sequence. I show someone the video that's from Inspired the Move. First, I show them the pictures you sent me, the before, you know, the front and side picture with the canes, the knee braces, and, you know, I explain how I didn't know this till you said it on one of the shows, that those knee braces wrapped into and strapped to the back strap, back brace. I didn't know that. You know, so I tell them that, and then I show them that video. Have you've seen that video from Inspired, right, Arthur?
Yeah.
It's really, 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 really well.
And then there it goes again.
But, wow. You know, watching those things, it's kind of interesting because I look sometimes at that person and think, you know, who is that? You know, that it's like, wow, that was me. And it's like, do you guys ever get that where you just look at who you used to be and it just kind of blows you away?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that
I remember.
You want to know a really great one? Has this happened to you guys yet? I go to, like, these meetings of teachers from all over the county, and somebody will come up, and they will not recognize me.
Mm-hmm. That's easy to
understand. Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
I love that. It's so, and you'll say, you know, it's me. We used to work together.
Oh, yeah.
You? I was like, yeah, you remember? He goes, didn't you used to be all? Yeah, I used to be all, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's a classic moment.
I had a guy, I ran into a guy 2 weeks ago. He's a makeup artist. He did my face for when I revamped my website a year ago. So he was pretty, you know, he spent some time with me. And he didn't know who I was. I mean, like, come on, you don't you remember me? And he really didn't until I sent him, you know, pictures from a year ago. So it's amazing when you just go along and do what you need to do and do the YRG. Profound changes happen. You know.
Yeah, I came up with. I've heard people say nothing tastes as good as skinny, and I don't think that's what it is. I think nothing tastes as good as feeling healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So true.
And that's why I can't eat shit anymore. You know, it's, I mean, my body feels so good considering I put it through such a beating. And I was at SummerSlam watching these kids do all these crazy stuff. And then there's a few of the veterans, you know, who literally been, you know, in their late 30s, early 40s. Like, you might know this is about, I know Robert does, and I know Ray does. Ray Mysterio, Michael knows, Ray Mysterio.
Oh, yeah.
And little Ray Ray is six, it's maybe 5'4". Maybe 160 pounds, 165 pounds, but he's like a crash dummy. He's done the craziest stunts around, and he's looking at me going, "Diamond, oh my God, you look younger. You look amazing. You're walking upright. You look great." And I said, "YRG." And I said, would you like me to send it to your brother? He said, "Please." So while I was there, the guys who requested it from me, and I can get my company to send it, they're really cheap with me giving it out, period. But to the people in my business, they don't have a problem. So I'm sending out to Bret Hart, just sent me his address, Rey Mysterio, Steven Regal, and Edge. And Regal's been wrestling since he was 15. He's 42. So he's been wrestling for 27 years. And he has the same doctor that I use in Atlanta, who is like a voodoo doctor, this guy, Dr. Kenneth West. And he gets to see him every, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. And that helps him huge with his body. But so much of it had to do with food. Like, he had to get completely off of wheat, because it was breaking him down. And as soon as he stopped eating wheat, his whole body changed. It's amazing.
Well, I can testify to that. My God. what it's done for me to not eat gluten is astounding. I mean, people think that I'm suffering or that I must have done some sort of crash diet. You know, and I said, no. You know, it's really amazing what happens when you just stop with the poisonous stuff, and your body responds.
And so many people, wheat is poisonous. And that's something that, you know, I've been going out with my show to get my own reality show, and it's really based on you guys. You know, it's based on helping people that I've never met before and helping them take control and change their lives. And when I am doing I'm not even pitching. I'm just telling them all the things that, you know, that I've done. And it takes an hour and 45 minutes. And I get them about that hour and a half mark. Now I got them on the edge of their seats. And when I show them the thing with Arthur, you know, and they got to see the pictures. Because then I go from, like, Arthur, you talk about people not remember, you know, thinking you look who you are.
Have to get that fixed.
Yeah.
Are you back with us yet, Dallas?
No.
Nope. I've got a question for you, Arthur.
Yeah.
You said before that you don't really look at yourself any differently than you did before. I had a question about that because I remember when we had done that interview a few years ago, you said that you used to look at yourself as a piece of furniture.
Yeah. That's true. I did. I don't now. But in a different way, I am kind of, I hate to say it today, but I'm kind of a creature of duty. You know, I live for my wife, my kids, my students. You know, I like to take care of things like that. I like doing that. You know, I'm a special ed teacher. I mm-hmm. love my job. I work with disabled students. You know, I work with, how do I put it? I think a lot of times you see these teachers who teach like the really hard, you know, the advanced placement classes. I look at those guys and they say, well, how can you handle, you know, having all these kids with all these problems? And it's like, dude, a teacher who doesn't want to work with challenging students, like a doctor doesn't like sick people. You know, and that part of me, I you know, think of myself in that way, almost like a caretaker, maybe. I don't know. Nurturer, I've heard that word used. But But, you know, I like doing that. I like, you know, helping people that way. And, you know, in my time, I've done some stuff. I mean, we all have, obviously. We've all done stuff we're not proud of. But this is something that I'm proud of. I am proud of the fact that, you know, I help these other people. And that is something that means, you know, a lot to me. And in that aspect, what I have done really allows me to be me, but a better version of me. You know, I am better able to take care of my family. I'm better able to help my students this way than I was before. But my motivation is unchanged. My heart is still in the same place. I've just fixed the body that allows me to execute those things.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to go with that question, is how did that, your transformation affect your job and your daily routine?
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yo, yo.
Yep.
Can you hear us?
Yo. There I am. Angie walks in, and she just got her Quebec store. And I'm talking, and she doesn't realize I'm talking on the air, and then she unplugs the internet.
Oh no!
Oh, so I'm assuming you guys just kept talking while I was in the dark.
Yeah,
kind of. What does anybody remember what I was saying before I got muted? Don't worry about it. What were you talking about?
We were talking about Arthur's transformation from what he is now, from a piece of furniture.
Right. Let me finish. Now I know what I was talking about, a story. So I showed him the before and after pictures, and then I showed him the picture of Arthur where you had your hair all out, and then where they were just about to cut it. Remember that picture where we did the commercial? And they show the picture with your hair cut. And you wanted to shave your goatee. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And Eric was like, no way. No one will you'll be unrecognizable.
Yeah.
So we did the infomercial. You still had the goatee. But immediately, as soon as we finished, you came to dinner with us and you had to shave it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had all these pictures. And I go, this is the transformation. They're like, oh, my God. And then I go, let me show you things that he can do that I can't. And then I show like 7 pictures of that stuff. And my massage therapist out here in L.A., her name is Sandy, and she's a YRG warrior. She's lost 40 pounds. She looks amazing. She's doing great. She's so strong. And she worked around an injury of a wrist injury. And, you know, for your massage therapist, especially a Heller worker, you got a wrist injury. You're screwed. Your career could be ending soon. But she rehabbed it back, working around her injury, doing YRG for last year and a half, and now it's strong as hell. She's doing complete push-ups, no pain. And she said to me, you know what you should do? You should do another minute video of Arthur and where he is now. And I think that would be amazing, Arthur. So I want you to just put your thinking cap on and do a series of moves. This shows where you start, you know, like wherever you want to do it, and give me like a minute version as you go from this move to that move to this move to show. Maybe it's a minute and a half. Maybe it's 2 minutes, but no, not over two, because I want to say this is him today, because that really shows people that you're constantly, and I know you are, you're constantly finding that next level to go to, and that's the secret. You know, when you talk about The Secret and that book you made, that movie that made bazillions of dollars, and it's funny because the guy who's my partner for my reality show, he helped her get her start here. I can't remember her name. And the way he, the reason why he's so into my reality show and what I'm doing is that The Secret is a mindset, but the real secret is they don't tell you you got to work for it. And I don't think there's anybody on this phone that doesn't know you got to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
know, it ain't wish for the bicycle, it'll be outside your door. That really pissed me off, that one. You know, because that totally is wrong. It's a wrong mindset. But taking control and saying, I'm going to get myself a bicycle, I'm going to get a paper route, or I'm going to, you know, work at the drugs, you know, at the checkout, bag groceries or whatever, and I'm going to get myself a bicycle. That's a reality. That's a goal. And constantly setting new goals. So, Michael, we have got little bits and pieces from you. Yeah. You've been videoing yourself this whole journey, right?
Yes, I'm going to be doing another video in a couple days.
Okay, and when you do, I want you to go for more of the challenging stuff that you've done. Have you? Because you've done the diamond cutter, you've done the below the belt, you've done all the workouts by now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And in different orders and stuff. So take some of the more challenging stuff and see when, if you fall down, you fall down. You know, you're still at that point. I mean, you're still you're pretty much where Arthur started, you know,
yeah.
But you're so much stronger, you know. And, you know, it's all about setting that next goal. That's why I did that 6-minute plank position yesterday, because someone had done a 2-minute plank instead of 4. And let me see if I can get a 6. Come on, so I'd see if you can get a 5. So, of course, I went for a 6. And eventually Doug, Stefan, or somebody will break that, or Arthur will, or somebody will, you know, and then we'll go on to the next journey. And like that kid Brett Wilkinson, who put up a minute plus black crow position. That's strength. You know,
that's
amazing. He's only 14 or some. He's a kid. I mean, I wish I did this since I was a kid. You know, I was pretty much making this shit all up as I was growing up, though, because I didn't, you know, my dad wasn't around and my mom was always working. So my grandmother was a great woman. She, you know, she pretty much, you know, she raised me going through menopause, if you can imagine what that would have been like.
Wow.
So, looking back, Arthur, you know, I think this whole redefining thing is a great subject, and I know you're still the same guy mentally of what your core beliefs are, but you've got to realize now that you have totally redefined who you are.
Yeah, that's kind of a scary thought, but yeah.
Yeah, you see, going into this, you didn't even think so. And you have, you know, and when this finally blows up, because to me, you guys are all my goal, you know, because, you know, I don't control it. But my goal is to have all of the people who come, who's been a part of this whole Team YRG and this transformation thing, to reflect and be a part. You know, I know Angie's going to be part of it because of the food, but, you know, and her transformation. By the way, she is looking better than ever. She's doing a show. Hey, Ange, what's the name of that show you're going to be doing? What's it called? Come in here. I can't hear you. You know, this is old school.
Live radio.
What, honey? Serene Vintage? Serene Vintage, and what it is a vintage clothing, but it's not a store. It's like a warehouse, and she has her own show, this woman, on Discovery, and they, you know, they interview all these different women and what the reason why they should be chosen to come in, and they absolutely loved Angela, and they're going to be taking these old vintage clothes, like she can dress you in the 20s or the, you know, the 30s or the 40s or the 70s or the 90s, you know, to get all these old clothes. And then she cuts them and places them, and so to fit like sort of like today. And so Angie's actually doing a show, and you know, it gave her an extra goal to even get in better shape. And now you can really start to see a difference, like where she was at one spot for a long time and looked great, but now she's just taken it to a different level. And that's the whole key of, you know, there's always someplace else to go. You know, there's always some other way that we can redefine who we are. You know, like right now, I'm getting, you know, literally excited about the fact of turning 55. And a lot of it has to do with my hand sign. You know, that made a lot of money off that hand sign. And all it was, you know, it made people notice and be a part of something. Like I still today, if someone says, man, I just talked to Diamond Dallas Page, and they'll make the Diamond Cutter sign and go, bang. You know, these are grown men, you know, or women. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to that. And I've made this show a must. It's going to happen because it's like when Arthur, that first video you stuck up there on YouTube when you were talking about going on the eating plan and starting to do YRG, you wanted to make yourself accountable. And it's all about throwing it out into the universe. You know, so, yeah, I met some, we got a new kid out there too who just did amazing. Kevin, have you seen some of Kevin's videos, the young man I met in Atlanta?
The Reverend,
yes. Reverend. We're going to have to bring him on in the next couple. Probably by next month I'll bring him on here. But the Rev has lost 60 pounds in the first 2 months.
Wow.
Now, you talk about wheat and dairy. Now, and when you're really heavy and you're short and you are tall and you're really heavy, and you take wheat and dairy out of your diet and you replace it with other things and you work out, it's dramatic.
It's amazing, yeah.
You know, it's just dramatic. I mean, I was blown away because I actually have a picture of him before he started. He came to my the same thing the Wilkersons came to in Atlanta, the YRG workout I did. Kim was there and Yoga Doc was there, and it was only about 15 of us. But he did the workout, and, you know, of course, he was like Doug Stephan that first time. He was just dripping sweat, and I was surprised. I thought he was just going to come and hear me talk, but he stayed for the workout. And then he got the workout, and I said, if you do this, this, and that, and put the work in, I will actually help you. And I only talked to him once a month, because, you know, that's how I am in the beginning, because I want you to really work at it. And then once you do that, then you got my number. I don't care when you call me. You know, which no one has ever abused that ever. You know, I almost challenge people to. Like, come on, you know, if you need some help, pick up the phone and call me. Donnie Spencer is the only one I will hear from. He'll call just the bullshit. But he's actually back on track and doing pretty good, too. I think he's just about to break the 300 mark, which will be great. So, Stacey, what do you want to close this out with?
Yeah, I think it's important. This was really important for me to learn along the way is when you're making these changes and people will start to notice and they're going to say, a lot of them, you know, I'm lucky I've got supportive people around me. It's very important to learn how, if you don't know how to do it, to take a compliment. Because that will go a long way in helping to redefine yourself. And even if it's uncomfortable, even if you don't want to do it, just do it. And that's what I had to do. I had to kind of fake it until it became an okay thing, you know, to take a compliment. And last week, I met a woman who had never seen me before. She was doing some energy work on me, and she asked me if I was a dancer. That totally made my day. You have no idea. And before, like, if this had been, you know, me 5 years ago, I would have freaked out and said, oh, my God, you've got to be kidding me. What are you talking about? And I just said to myself, you know what, just take it. I mean, it's there. She sees something. And you know what? You do look like a dancer at this point. So go for it and just, you know, embrace it. So that's really important because I think as people with self-esteem issues have a really sometimes a hard time accepting the good. And just if there's any kind of advice I can say on this topic is learn how to take a compliment. It's very important.
I totally agree. And there's so many people out there who just don't know how to accept one. You know, and just instead of saying, no, I don't, or whatever, just take a breath and smile.
Yeah.
You know, anything. I think it's really important. And plus, it, people with self-esteem issues, and, you know, that's something I've never really had. But I know I've helped a lot of people overcome them.
Yeah, you know? I know from my experience, it will change your psychology once you start to just accept it and don't push it away. It does something to your psychology and to your brain. Trust me.
I agree. That's a great point. So I hope all you people out there who are listening grabbed a little something of this, even though I was bouncing in and out. I'm sure Stacy, and it's so funny, I was talking to Stacy earlier today, and I said, you know, Stacy, I can see at some point you that someone to bring you on from time to time to host for me, because I want you to just take control of the show and talk, and because I can see you having your own show sometime. And when I said that to you, what did you first think when I said that, Stacy?
I thought, what are you know? I was a little skeptical. I'm like, oh, I don't know. But, you know, I didn't push it away. I took it in. I said, okay.
Right. You know, like I could, you know. Yeah. And it gets like that in anything. I don't care what it is. Once you say I can't or I can, you're right.
Yeah.
You know, and they're so funny because so many people, you know, will say I can yet, because I've taught them that yet, that simple three-letter word, makes it possible. But I'll leave you with this last thought. Ellen Ludloff, who's my original partner in YRG besides Yoga Doc, and his son was working on the 10-second push-up. And, you know, he started with three. He could barely do that. And he got the three. And, you know, and I'd say, so how's the five? You getting working on that five? And he'd say, instead of saying I can't do it, he'd always say, I'm working on it. And I'd be like, wow, that's cool. You could 10 years old and he's working on it. And then he finally got almost to that 10, and you got that 10, yeah, I'm working on it. And finally he called him up, he says, I got that 10, I got that 10 second push up. He's like 11 years old. You know? I mean, it's so important to try to, you know, especially kids, to let them believe that they really can do anything. You know, because if you tell them that they can't, very few have that ability that I was gifted with, because I'm the person that you told I can't do it. And I'll prove you wrong. You actually light a fire under my ass. But very few people are like that. And that's why I always try to give people the idea and the thoughts that, yes, they can. And, you know, today I think being a wrestler may be one of the hardest things in the world to do it. And we had Rob Van Dam on here a couple weeks ago. And like he said, when I said, what do you do when kids ask you, you're like, how do I do it? He goes, I'm not going to crush anybody's dreams, because, you know, if I could do it, then maybe they could do it. And that's the whole thing. It's you only know it may not be in a top level, may not be on, you know, at the WWF level or WWE level. But, you know, sometimes like Dylan, him just doing little independent shows, he's doing it. He's living the dream. He loves what he's doing. So and that's really living the dream, finding something you love to do. And hopefully you can make a living out of it, but just making any kind of money is great. You know, but
all of us on the show are living the dream, our own dream, because of your support. So I just want to thank you, because I wouldn't have this life if it weren't for you. I mean, I know I did the work, but if I could have done it by myself, I would have.
Well, you know, I will accept the compliment. And on that note, I want to thank Arthur and his crazy busy schedule for stopping by, and Michael for popping in, and we'll have you back on again, Mike. We're going to watch your journey. It's great to have you, you know, at 6 months in and 90 pounds down.
That's awesome, Mike.
Well, yeah. Thank you, guys. I want to thank you all, and I want to thank Doug Steffen, too.
Yeah.
Doug's the man.
the monster motivator. I swore I would never call him the cheerleader again. So Doug, that tweaked him, you know. But he is the monster motivator, man. I love
Oh, there he goes again.
And he genuinely really cares. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Guys. I'm going to click out here and thank you all for coming. You've been wonderful. You've been marvelous. But see ya.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
You love me. You hate me. You'll never forget me. Get ready. Get to feel the... Five.